Your first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on CrackSidewalks.com. It is March. It is tournament time, Big East tournament time, but we're going to be talking about that and the big dance coming up on Selection Sunday. It's coming up this week, so we're going to look ahead to that. Phil, are you as excited as I am?
I am pumped. I am super excited. I could not be more excited. This is exciting times. By the way, I'm excited.
Yes, we are thrilled. For the first time in a while, I am just giddy for March.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to touch on the week that was. We're going to talk about the Big East tournament, our predictions for that, and then we're also going to maybe give some predictions or some best guesses or just looking ahead a little bit to the bracket reveal and where we think Marquette might go, where we hope Marquette might go, where we hope Marquette definitely does not go, and things of that nature. But Phil, let's just touch briefly on the week that was, even though it's kind of old news now, but it happened again. Don't lose to DePaul. Was a failure. That's the bad news last week, but the good news, like, and that's why I really don't want to dwell on that too much, because one, it's old news, and two, they did move past it and get a nice win on Senior Day against St. John's. So the good news, Marquette avoids a 6-11 game with Georgetown to open the Big East tournament, because that would be the one thing that would have had me sweating a little bit on Selection Sunday, would be to have to sweat through a 6-11 game with Georgetown, and you drop that one too. I'd still think Marquette might get in, but I didn't want to worry about it. Now with a win over St. John's, no worries about missing the tournament, at least from my perspective. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think they're officially a lock.
Yeah, I think so. But take me back to, I don't know how much I want to go into the DePaul game, because again, I'm ready to move past it, but let's just talk a little more Senior Day with the win over St. John's, a game Marquette was mostly in control of start to finish. You know, St. John's made some runs there to make them sweat a little bit, but overall, I thought the team looked pretty good, and I was glad to see that they did not dwell on the disaster from the DePaul game.
Yeah, I think the comeback, or the resurgence after that DePaul game, because, I mean, honestly, that was, I think it's fair to say the DePaul game was the worst game Marquette played all season. Like, I know St. Yes. Bonaventure was a bigger, quote-unquote, loss. But, you know, DePaul, even in the last 6 or 7 minutes of the game, absolutely tried to allow Marquette back into it. And Marquette almost literally kept fumbling the ball away and couldn't come back. So that was the closest thing to a Wojo loss that we've seen all season. So it was kind of like, hey, are we trending in the wrong direction? And then the St. John's game happened. And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, that game was closer to being a blowout than the score really, really kind of reflected it. Like you said, Marquette was in control pretty much the whole game. There was some, you know, I'm not harping on the officiating, like somehow they're out against Marquette, but there was just some questionable calls in places that, if they don't get made, Marquette is blowing that game wide open. So I think it was a good bounce back. It showed that this team is still tough and that they're not kind of shrinking from the moment that we were afraid they were when we went into this don't step on any rakes category and of the schedule, and absolutely stepped on several.
Yeah, definitely stepped on several, but not so much that we're really worried about the team at this point. But it was another outstanding performance from Justin Lewis.
Yeah, we should be grateful we have him and just appreciate him over the next, I don't know, anywhere from 2 to 7 games. Like, I don't think he's back.
Yeah, I think his stock is high enough that I am not banking on him returning to Marquette next season. That's maybe a topic for a podcast in a week or two.
Right.
But, yeah, he is looking very league-ish. He looks like he's ready for that next level. Still has room to improve, as many 19-year-olds do, but I think he'll be ready to work on those aspects of his game as a pro as opposed to a college player next year. But 28 points in the win over St. John's, you know, his efforts really never let St. John's get close. But one of the, I think, sneaky storylines over the last week, Phil, has been the increased playing time and increased visibility of Stevie Mitchell off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's going to be a dramatic shift in the minutes at the point guard spot, but Stevie is certainly making his case to play more and more, and he's shooting confidently. He looks good leading the offense when they have to have the ball in his hands. And you know, I don't know how much more we're going to see from Stevie this year, but I am definitely excited for what we could see from Stevie in the years to come.
Well, I really like him, you know, so I'm still not confident in his shot per se, right? Like, I just mechanically, it doesn't fill me with optimism, but obviously they've been going in, he's been playing well over the last couple of games, no doubt. And again, we talked about the Butler game. He only played 11 minutes against DePaul. He played 16, and then he played 5 against St. John's. But they felt like an outsized 5, considering right. The impact. He only scored 3 points.
Felt like an impactful 5.
Right.
Yeah, like it felt like he played more. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So it felt like more than that. I guess I'm not sure why he's not getting more time. Again, I think he's got a lot of room for improvement on the offensive end. I get that he's not a complete product on that end of the court, but he brings so much tenacity and energy on the defensive end that I love him as a like change of pace. You know, you almost have like a change of pace back in the NFL. That's almost what Stevie is at the point guard position. Like he is going to hound whoever you've got. And defensively, when we've got a lineup of him, Daryl Morsell, maybe an Oso Iguodaro, et cetera, that is a stout defensive team. And this team is going to win with defense, I think, in March. So I'd like to see Stevie get a little bit more time, and I'm curious. I'm really excited to see how he develops in the years to come.
Yeah, a change of pace guard or a scrambled eggs guard, if you will.
Yes. There you go.
Deep cut
we
there.
We can name him thusly.
Yeah, deep cut there. But, you know, Greg Elliott, he twisted his ankle in the DePaul game, and he gave it a go. He looked all right. I think maybe looked a little painful to run at some points in that game. So I do wonder if Greg's ankle is still bothering him a little bit this week. If you need more minutes from Stevie, I think they shouldn't hesitate. If Greg's got to sit a little more than you're used to sitting Greg, if you want to get Greg 100, as close to 100% as you can before the tournament, I wouldn't hate more minutes for Stevie in New York this week. I think he has enough confidence. Shaka has enough confidence in Stevie to give him more minutes if necessary.
Yeah, and especially, you know, if they go anywhere deep in the Big East tournament, like 3 games in 4 day in 3 days is that's a lot on any of the players. So they're going to have to go a little deeper on the roster, right? You know, David Joplin might get some run, Stevie might get some run. And it'll come down to matchups and opportunities. So I think that flexibility is good. I'm going to be curious to see how much they optimize the lineups. Uh-huh. And stick with kind of a solid rotation versus a little bit more of the mix and match that they've done over the last couple of games. It almost feels like the last 2 or 3 weeks they've been doing a lot of let's throw this lineup out there and see what happens, right? And that sort of thing. So I think we're going to see in New York, because we've talked about it. My personal feeling is you win a Big East tournament, that's found money, right? Like, I'm not expecting it. Not that I don't care, but it's whatever. I'd celebrate it, but I'm not pinning any hopes on it. So I think the Big East tournament allows us to continue to assess where we're at and kind of stabilize our rotations so that we then, you know, kind of are in fight and shape for whatever bid we get. Because, again, eye on the prize, the NCAA tournament is the thing we care about. That is, we, mm-hmm. no matter what, we need to get a first-round win. Like, for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, it's
we need to get a win.
And so that's why I like, for the more than any other reason, why I'm hoping for a good run in Madison Square Garden. I agree. I'm not expecting Marquette to win this or even make the final necessarily. But the good news is they will not suffer a terrible loss. Yeah, like,
right.
They're not going to have to play Georgetown or DePaul early. I mean, if they do, it would be because those teams made an incredible run themselves. But they're not going to be in a position to lose a first-round game to a bad team. They're going to play Creighton, which, you know, if you lose that game, you don't love it, but that's not a seed-crushing loss,
right?
You know, but and the thing is, if you can win one or two, you've solidified whatever seed line you're on, and maybe get in a position to move up, maybe one, maybe a little bit. There's not going to be any dramatic shifts from where Marquette is now, and most projections have Marquette kind of skipping rope with that 7-8 line right now, depending on who you look at. It seems like a 7-8-ish, so I'm kind of at a point where I'm envisioning if Marquette is one and done in New York, I'm expecting 8 and maybe bracing myself for a disappointment as a 9, but when you're talking 8-9, there's really no difference. It's essentially the same thing. So 8-9 if they lose that first one. If they can get a win over Creighton and then you go out and lose to assume Providence, maybe you can sneak up to the 7 line. And so I'd say if you win one game, or maybe even if you win two games, you're probably a 7. And maybe if Marquette wins the whole thing, maybe you get up to a 6. That's kind of my range, what I'm looking at. Like, where are you feeling range-wise for Marquette?
I think the ceiling, which is always a weird way to put it because the numbers are actually decreasing. But I do agree. I think the ceiling is a 6. Like, that is the absolute best we can do here. I actually think, because there's going to be teams losing around us, right? Yeah. Like, I think when it comes into the tournament time, if we can beat Creighton, I do think there might be, you know, some teams falling around us, perhaps, that'll, you know, maybe USC or Seton Hall or, you know, Michigan State or, you know, some of those, you know, or even, hey, in Ohio State, right? Maybe they lose early in their conference tournaments, and if we can go at least one, if not two wins in our tournament, I think that allows us to maybe be around a 7. I would say our best case scenario is a 6. Our likely case is a 7. That's really where I'm at. And if we lose to Creighton, I think we are at worst a 9, but most likely an 8.
Yeah. 8-9 game, no matter which way you look at it. So
yeah, we're going to be an 8-9 game. If we lose to Creighton, we're an 8-9 game.
Yeah,
that's my sense of it.
I would agree with that take as well. We'll talk a little bit more about the tournament and the bracket a little bit later, but first let's just talk some Big East news. Touch really briefly on the all Big East teams. So Justin Lewis got the most good news as far as Big East teams. He was all Big East first team member. We already touched on him at the top of the show. Just more praise for Justin. More indications that his stock is so high that might be NBA time for him. So he made the All Big East first team and was named the Big East Most Improved Player. As the time we're recording this, I haven't seen the Big East Player of the Year yet. I think we're all assuming it's going to be Colin Gillespie because he was the only unanimous selection on the first team. So logically to me, it's going to be Gillespie. The only other Marquette player on an All Big East team was Cam Jones. He made the All Freshman team and was a unanimous selection on the All Freshman team. So, any gripes, quibbles, or otherwise praise for the All Big East teams, Phil?
No. I think the fact that Marquette was, at least according to conference standings, a middling team in the Big East. I think having a standout player in Justin Lewis recognized and an up-and-coming freshman in Cam Jones, I think that's the right level of accolades for this team. I mean, I don't even know if you had to make an argument, who else would on this team would you want to see an award? Like, we can't say, hey, everyone on Marquette deserves an award. This isn't participation trophies.
Yeah.
But I don't even know who else I would say needs to get an award.
Yeah, just because there's not too many guys who were great every game. Like Justin Lewis was great in the most games. Daryl Morcel was maybe up there. You know, maybe Big East extended to a third team, he would get there. Did he get honorable mention? Because I think Kerr got honorable mention.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Daryl Morcel got honorable mention. So, there you go. It was Morcel that got honorable mention. So, there you go. So, he was the only other guy that I think deserved some recognition because he's been just so key all year. There are 11 teams, and the Big East does 6 guys per team. Well, 6 guys on the first team and 5 on the others. So,
which I don't understand. Do we know what the logic of that is?
Yeah, I don't know. But at least it's not like some leagues. Like, I think the Pac-12 has 10 guys on their first team. Like, come on, guys. A team is 5.
What's the point?
Like, yeah. I would much rather you do a first, second, third, and fourth team as opposed to 10 guys on the first team and 10 guys on the second team. But we're getting off topic. So, but yeah, I have no gripes. I mean, there are all kinds of guys who you could say deserve some kind of recognition. Like Tyler Kolek's had a good year, Kirk Queth has had a good year, Oso's had a good year. But if you're talking all Big East, you know, the bar's got to be a little higher than that. So, I'm good with what the coaches voted on. I do think it's kind of funny though that the coaches did not put any Providence players on the first team.
I was going to bring that up. I didn't enjoy the schadenfreude of Providence being the asterisk number one team in the conference champion, yeah. And none of their players are on the first team Big East. Though I suppose someone could turn that around, probably Gary Parrish, and would turn around and use it as a, well, see, you know, hell of a coaching job by Ed Cooley. Right. He should be the coach of the year.
I'm fine giving Ed Cooley coach of the year, but
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if he wins it. Like, again, I still will make the argument that if you look at the games, you know, as they played out, like, there is an awful lot of quote unquote variance, also known as luck, involved in their record. But this is not a anti-Providence podcast. It is merely a anti idiocy podcast.
Well, we bring our own sometime there, to be fair. So we bring our own.
Wait, we only like our brand of idiocy.
Like our idiocy, it's everyone else's that's that, no only good. One that's allowed. So speaking of idiocy, right. How about we get to the Big East tournament and talk our predictions for that?
Oh boy, let's get crazy.
So Marquette is in the 4-5 game, as I'm sure many of you know. That game will be Thursday at 1:30 Central. They will then get the winner of Providence, who is the one seed getting a bye, and Providence will be playing the winner of Xavier and Butler. That's the 8-9 game. That's the game on Wednesday. You can go to, you know, Big East website, or I'm sure there's 100 places where you can actually see the bracket. So Marquette is one of five teams that have a bye. And as we've talked about the weeks leading up to this, Phil, we kind of anticipated it would be a 4-5 against Creighton. We needed the win against St. John's to make that official. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm good with a third round against Creighton, as we've said a few times on this pod. You know, Creighton is missing Nembhard. They're still good. They're still good enough to beat Marquette. But Marquette was literally two plays away from sweeping Creighton, and they didn't go Marquette's way, and so instead they got swept by Creighton. So I'm ready for a third round here, and I think Marquette can get this one. I really do.
Yeah, I think – so, we talk about Coach of the Year, and I'm somewhat loath to give McDermott credit, but it's absolutely deserved. Yes, they got boat raced by Providence the first game without Nembhard, but since then they have been at a minimum competitive and have in fact won some. They beat UConn, right? And that's not an easy task. Just as Marquette, they haven't beaten UConn this year, so you know they are a dangerous team, and so I think this isn't. You know, this isn't one of those things where you go, oh, they're missing Nembhard, easy win, right? Like, I think this is a challenge, but I think it's an exciting challenge. I think with Nembhard out, Creighton's a little more prone to turnovers. They're a little less, you know, they have less roster flexibility in terms of the lineups. So I would think Marquette could put a little more defensive pressure on Creighton than they did in the previous two games. And then it's really going to come down to, you know, how well Marquette is shooting. If they're making shots, great. Then Creighton can't break out on them on the rebounds. And if Marquette's not making shots, then there's potentially a world of hurt on Creighton's transition offense going the other way. So I think it's going to be a fun matchup, quite frankly. And thank God for the pandemic changing everyone to working from home. Now there's nobody has to make any excuses. I got to go to a dental appointment at 1:30 Central Time. No reason other than that I'm not going to be at work, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to take a late lunch break, and it's going to take 2 hours. What's the big deal?
Right. Just weird. Weirdly coincidental.
I've done that during tournament week sometimes. Like the great thing about my job that I work in is I essentially have two seasons. Like I have a season where I'm busy editing every week and cranking out shows, and then when I'm done with new shows for the year, that always corresponds with essentially the week of conference tournaments, and then I don't start traveling for my job until April. So I've essentially got 2 weeks where I have a light workload. So like this is a week where I can take a 2-hour lunch and really miss nothing. Many guys in my office, we all take the Thursday and Friday off the week of the NCAA tournament. So we always burn, because we work so many weekends during the high school football and basketball season. We've got all these comp days built up, so we cash those in very quickly. So I will definitely be working, wink, wink, on Thursday in the early afternoon. So,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
one of the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I love March so much. It's just so exciting. And this is a year where we can get excited about Marquette. And the bracket, man, I said so on Twitter, I could not imagine a more perfect Big East tournament bracket for Marquette.
Yeah.
Not in terms of like they're definitely going to the final, but like if they were to go to the final with this team and this season, this is absolutely the bracket to do it.
Yeah, I agree with that 100% because with all due respect to Providence, I think Villanova and UConn are the two better teams in the league than Providence. And you've got them on the opposite side of the bracket, so you only have to beat one of them to win the championship. And you know, Marquette has played Providence twice, lost a close one at their place, and blew them out in Milwaukee. So if you got a third round with Providence in a neutral floor, I think you got to feel good that you're going to be competitive in that game. Granted, Providence has pulled out a lot of wins, and I'll give them credit for that. As I've said before, the difference between luck and clutch is whether or not you like the team. So we call them lucky. They would call themselves clutch. I understand. But you've got the bye, which is critical, so you don't have to win four games in 4 days. You just got to win three in 3 days. And I agree with you, Phil. We're not saying this is easy, and we're not saying this a lock, but if you have to set it up some way, this is the way you would probably want it set up. You would want to get Providence first, and then you would want to get the winner of Nova UConn and play them for the whole thing.
Right. Well, and so let's break it, you know, so one, I think the thing that worries me about playing Providence is, you know, the Big East tournament is going to be flooded with Providence fans, right? Like UConn, Nova, St. John's, and Providence are going to be extremely well represented at that tournament.
Yeah,
so
it's going to be buzzing there. I mean, I remember there were no fans there last year when Georgetown won the Ghost Town Big East tournament, and all these fans are going to be, they're going to be fired up. This will be UConn's first Big East tournament back, right? Like last year was their first tournament since coming back, but there were no fans there. So UConn fans will get to experience the Big East tournament for the first time in several years. So UConn fans are going to be loud there.
Right. And let's not forget, like, not to bring up painful memories, but like, does everyone remember, I think it was sad St. John's mascot sitting in the stands in March of 2020 when they literally canceled the tournament in the middle of the St. John's game?
Right.
So this is, you know, this is the first tournament in 3 years that is quote unquote normal. So there's going to be a lot of pent up enthusiasm, anxiety, emotion, whatever. So I think Providence is going to be well represented, which is going to be a challenge. But the other thing I'll ask, like, I think we hold, you know, Providence, you know, not as highly regarded as, like you said, UConn and Villanova. Does Xavier or Butler scare you more than Providence?
No, I wouldn't.
Or would we love an upset with Xavier or Butler against Providence?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I would rather play the 8 or 9 seed. Yeah. Even though Butler's been playing well lately and Xavier is kind of in free fall mode, so that would be a team I would love to play. Granted, now if Xavier were to beat Providence, that would feel like the end of their free fall. Because then they would be comfortably in.
Yeah, I think they'd lock.
Yeah, so they would be comfortably in, and they would not be tight anymore. So, if I had to play the first day, I would like to play Xavier the first day because they're kind of in panic free fall mode. That feeling of, oh my God, will we ever win again? That's where Xavier is right now. But if Xavier were to win two games, you know, if Marquette were to play Xavier, Xavier would have two wins under their belt, so they wouldn't have that feeling anymore. So, but yeah, still, to answer your question, I would still rather play Xavier or Butler than Providence. I have at least that much respect for Providence. They're better than those teams and would be a tougher matchup for Marquette than either one of those.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I would rather, like, on the pure playing standpoint, play Xavier or Butler. But I will say this, and maybe this is, you know, Alan Bukowski of Crack Sidewalks has repeatedly said, and I'm not disagreeing with him. A, he's smart on this stuff, and B, he's probably right. That March Madness seeds don't change really that much in with conference tournament results.
Yes.
But I would think if you beat a Providence on a neutral court, A, that gives you another Q1 win, right? So I think we would then have the second most in the country. And B, that will improve your net and other rank, you know, the other analytic rankings. So that's the primary reason I want to play Providence, is just because it gives us that opportunity that, no, you know, if we beat a Xavier or a Butler, that doesn't make much difference on our tournament resume. But beating Providence on a neutral court, Providence is high enough in the rankings that would make a big difference.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And like, yeah, Alan's main point is that, like, a team that's, you know, got a low seed isn't going to play its way up to a really great seed unless they win the tournament and win their conference tournament and beat several teams. Teams play their way out. So, like, if Xavier were to lose to Butler, that might be playing their way out by losing to a bad team.
It's easier to get out or go down than it is to go up.
That is exactly Alan's point when it comes to conference tournaments. But I do tend to agree with you that if Marquette were to get a win over Creighton and then parlay that with a win over Providence, I would feel good that they've got enough insurance that they're getting out of that 8-9 discussion, and that they would be...
Correct,
they,
and that's all I want. Yep. I want to get to a 6 or a 7. That's all I want. I want to maximize our odds of A, going deeper in the tournament. Because if you look at kind of the winning percentages historically... you know, the 7 seed, once you get below that 7 seed, you're getting out of past even the second round falls precipitously. So I really want this team to at a minimum get to a 7. And I think beating Creighton and beating Providence and playing in close in the final, I think that'll get us to that 7 range.
Yeah. I think if you beat Providence, the score in the final doesn't matter whether you lose by 1 or lose by 30, I don't think it's going to matter much. I don't think that's going to matter. But again, Alan would know that stuff better than we do. But so before we kind of move on, give me your prediction for the bracket. Like, just quickly go through the bracket if you want to skip the first round. You know, or you can just quickly, starting at the quarterfinals, give me your quick three results and what the final result's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's Providence Xavier. Providence wins. I think Creighton Marquette. I think Marquette wins. I don't think this is it's tough to beat a team three times in a season crap. I think this is just Marquette is starting to feel itself again, and Creighton, you know, has some roster shortages. So I see a Marquette win. I see Villanova beating Seton Hall, though I really, really, really want Georgetown to go on a run. Like, that would just be amazing.
So funny. Yes.
It's so good. Excuse me. Georgetown or Seton Hall plays UConn. I messed up the bracket. So, and then I say see DePaul beating St. John's, taking on Villanova. I think it's UConn and Nova on the lower side of the semis, Marquette and Providence. I do think Marquette beats Providence. I think that's going to be a hell of a game and a hell of an atmosphere. But I think coming off the confidence of the Creighton game and a little bit of regression to the mean, I think Marquette wins there. I think UConn beats Nova. There's something in the air. I think Nova's a touch shorthanded right now. And I think UConn's just got some weird energy going on that maybe gets the win. And then we face the finals, and I have no idea. If it's Marquette UConn, I kind of think UConn wins, but you know, who knows? When Marquette's on a tear, they're kind of on a tear. So yeah. I could see them winning, but I think it's likely they lose.
It's that time of year for UConn when they do make runs like that. So I'm trying to both avoid copying your bracket and also avoid chalk, because we tend to see a little craziness in these conference tournaments, particularly the Big East tournament. So I'm gonna say Xavier beats Butler and locks up a tournament bid by knocking off Providence. So I'm going to say Xavier beats Providence. I'll take Marquette over Creighton.
My goodness.
Yeah, I'll take Marquette over Creighton. Yeah, I'll say DePaul beats the Johnnies. Seton Hall beats UConn. So then I think we get the Nova UConn matchup in the semis, and then Xavier and Marquette. Now the thing is, I really want to see Providence, Marquette, Nova, UConn on Friday, because I think that's the Friday night we have all wanted.
Yes.
For most of the season, is those four teams on Friday. So I hope that's what we get. But again, just for the sake of not copying your bracket, I'm going to take it's Marquette Xavier, and I'll take Marquette advancing to the final. And I'm going to take Nova because I still think they're the best team in the conference, and I'll take Nova cutting down the nets and being Big East tournament champs. But I'm with you. I do agree with what you said about UConn. It kind of feels like their time of year, and their fans are going to be just insane at this tournament. And
if you spend any time on Twitter with them, they are nuts. They do like Twitter spaces like every other day that have 120 people on it. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they
don't you people have jobs?
They are insane. And like the energy around UConn is going to be tough to deny. But I go back and forth between picking Nova and UConn to win this tournament. But I'm just to be a little different than you, I'm going to take Nova. So I'm going to take Nova over Marquette in the final.
And just for the record, I know we both put Marquette in the finals. I think there's a logic to it. We are a Marquette podcast, so we're obviously going to be biased, and optimistic Phil is just on the loose. But I do want to point out that Matt Norlander on the CBS Ion basketball podcast also predicted Marquette to the finals. So this isn't like just some homerism. There is a legit path there, right? Like, again, Providence is a good team. But I don't think they're substantially better than Marquette, that Marquette has no chance of beating them.
Oh, absolutely.
And as long as Marquette can beat Creighton, I think they're on a good path to the final.
And when Norlander said that, he said kind of basically I was copying what he said. We do see some upsets and some craziness during these conference tournaments, particularly the Big East tournament. So just picking 1, 2, 3, 4 in the semifinals, unlikely. And
right.
And so having 1 versus 2 in the final or 1 versus 3 in the final, probably not likely, but it may happen. But yeah, that's why I kind of wanted to do just a little bit of insanity. So that's why I picked Xavier to – putting money on Xavier is probably a fool's errand right now. But
right.
I had to do something different. So that's
– I mean, he could – you know, Travis Steele could be both Wojo 2.0 and Ewing 2.0.
He just merged them together. Coach. Yeah.
Right. We went into a lab and we created the
ultimate enigma.
Yeah, yeah, insane. Exactly.
The maddening coach, the guy who drives you crazy during the regular season, gives you hope and then lets you down. So,
yes. Yeah.
All right. So those are our predictions for the Big East tournament. Now let's peek ahead to Selection Sunday before we get out of here, Phil. And we touched on it a little bit earlier, so if you look at Bracket Matrix, the consensus of the, 129 freaking brackets across the internet, the average as we're recording this Tuesday is Marquette is in the middle of the 8 seeds. So it kind of feels like they're, again, skipping rope with that 7-8 line. You know, depending the results, Phil, my general idea is if Marquette gets stuck on that 8-9 line, I'm thinking we may see them either in Fort Worth, Texas, because they have to be paired with a 1 seed there, so they would be paired up with either maybe Kansas or Baylor, or they may get shipped out west, where they would be paired with Gonzaga or Arizona. So I don't want to see them go out west, but I think if they can claw their way up to that 7 game, then I think they're probably likely going to Greenville because they got to be paired with a 2 seed there. So that looks like they would be paired with maybe Auburn or Duke, and just because they would not be paired with Wisconsin because Wisconsin's going to be playing in Milwaukee, and so Marquette can't go to Milwaukee, and I don't see them being paired with Kentucky because Indianapolis would probably be the site Marquette would want to go to the most, and as a 7 seed, I don't think they would get to go to Indianapolis. So I think they're going to be shipped out somewhere, and just that's my kind of thought process. Now, granted, we could see maybe Baylor drop or Kansas drops to a 2, and so that could send them to Fort Worth, or maybe Arizona drops to a 2 if they have a rough Pac-12 tournament, and then maybe they get shipped out to San Diego to get paired with Arizona. But that's kind of what my mindset is I don't see them getting to Indianapolis. They will definitely not go to Milwaukee. That's a rule, so we know that. So I'm thinking if they can get to a 7, I'm picking Greenville is their most likely destination.
because geographically or from a distance standpoint, it was closer to them than Fort Worth or whatever. But we know the top four seeds get a quote unquote preference or a say. But what I don't have a feel for is how much the other, like the lower seeds, like they try and not put them there. I mean, infamously against Marquette, South Carolina as the lower seed
right.
got placed against us in Greenville.
Yes.
So that was very much a home game for a 7-10 matchup, and they were the 10 seed. So I and maybe things have changed since then. So I don't know that I would take Indianapolis off the table. I think it's just going to depend, right, like on kind of where they are in the S curve, right? I don't know how they do this, but I don't know if like Indianapolis gets, you know, the top eight seed and the top seven seed, or excuse me, the top seven seed or whatever, and Greenville gets the second best seven seed. I don't know if that's how they've got them structured, but I do agree it's really three locations. It's Greenville, Fort Worth, or Indianapolis is really where Marquette's going to end up.
Yeah. And possibly Portland if they slip in that 8-9 lane, because they could get paired up with Gonzaga. I'd say that's a possibility too. But
well, and the other thing to keep in mind is that they, you know, sometimes teams move up or down seed lines because of matchup considerations,
right?
So as an example, you know, if there were another, so right now, if you look at bracket matrix, Marquette's an 8, Seton Hall's a 9. Let's say for the example here, that Seton Hall falls to a 9 seed and Marquette stays an 8 seed. Well, Marquette cannot play Seton Hall. You can't play, I guess it's not a hard and fast rule, but you're not supposed to play your conference opponents or common opponents until at least the round of 32, if not the round of 16.
Yeah, they don't put teams of the same conference in the first round, and I think they do everything they can to avoid that in the second round. Like, if one team were to get 11 schools in, unavoidable. It's almost unavoidable. But I do think they make every effort to keep conference teams separated until at least a Sweet 16.
Right. So that's where you may see, you know, Marquette move up or down seed lines, because again, the Big East is probably going to have at least six teams. And you know, Marquette has played a fair number of non-conference opponents of note that'll be in the tournament. Right. So, they'll try and avoid those common opponents as well in the first round. You know, so Marquette, I think, is going to have a little more uncertainty around its seed based on external factors that aren't analytics and rankings and that sort of stuff. So I would say yes. It's going to be Selection Sunday is going to be interesting. But if Marquette can end up at a 7 seed, I think Marquette ends up either in Indianapolis, Greenville, or Fort Worth. I know there's an out west possibility, but I don't know, that one feels unlikely.
Yeah, I'm with you. So that's what I'm going to be watching, like when those brackets are revealed on the selection show on Sunday, like when they say for the games in Greenville or for the games in Fort Worth, that's when my ears are going to perk up. It's like, oh, this could be us. And
right,
so, and obviously selfishly there's a part of me that would love to see them in Fort Worth, but not if it's an 8-9 game paired with Kansas or Baylor. But thing is, it would probably be Kansas or Baylor either way, but selfishly I would at least get some joy of seeing them in person here in Fort Worth. But again, it's much better for them if they're perhaps a 7 seed going to Greenville. I guess that's the next question I want to, like, what matchups do you most want? And Alan Bukowski has a really cool article, what he calls his dreams and nightmares matchups as far as teams to get paired with in the first round, and also the looking ahead pairings with the 2 seeds. Like, what's a team that you want to, like, when that board flips over and you say, yes, we got that team, or crap, I do not want to play them?
I'm going to list a couple of teams that I'd love to play if we saw them. I think Boise State and Michigan State, depending on where they fall, would be great to play. I think, I'd like to face Memphis. I think that's That'd just be a fun, interesting game. Yep. Like, those are the teams I'd want to see. I don't know. Who would you want to see?
Yeah, I think about, you know, Allen did a pretty cool breakdown. Like, the tough thing about Memphis is they're actually a pretty good rebounding team, but they are atrocious turning it over. So, like, I think they might be, like, dead last in the country, last I looked, as far as...
Good Lord.
Let me bring that up if I can find it. Give me just a few minutes to get to Memphis's page. Turnovers, 352nd in the country.
Ooh,
next to
out of like 353,
yes.
Right?
So, now offensive rebounding, they are sixth. So, take your positives and negatives there. So, Jalen Duren, the possible lottery pick they got in the middle there, he would be a huge, huge problem. As would Malcolm Dandridge, but boy, their guards kick it all over the floor. So. It would be a game where Marquette would have to just turn them over. But as far as teams I would love to play, I think it would be very fun to play Notre Dame. They're on that 10 line. I think they're a team that Marquette could match up well with. Any ACC team outside of Duke, I'm kind of up for. Allen has Miami as an ACC team. That would be a good matchup. North Carolina, he says, maybe a bad matchup just because of Baycott in the middle, and I tend to agree with that. And Brady Manick's a good backup. I don't think Dawson Garcia is coming back at all this year. But... they've got enough talent in the middle that they would be a bad matchup. So maybe I would want to avoid North Carolina. And then, like I said before, I do tend to like playing like bottom teams from power conferences because I feel like they're kind of sleepwalking their way in, as opposed to a team like Boise State or Murray State, who are going to be fired up to be there and might play with a lot of energy. But to your point, Boise State... matchup-wise, it's a team Marquette should probably beat. Like, there's nothing that they're not great pick. Like in Allen's article, I'm quoting from here, they're average pick and roll defense, not very good offensive rebounding, and they do turn it over a good amount. So Boise State's a team you could probably beat. Murray State, though, good news, no John Morant, but they do play very good pick and roll defense, and they don't turn it over a whole lot. So. Murray State would be a team I would not want to see come up.
Yeah, just nightmares. So now, stuff of nightmares, past and
present. Just, and it would just be a haunting name to see for Marquette fans. But as I said before, seeing those Ja Morant highlights now, they're actually funny. I actually find them.
Well,
hilarious.
Especially in context of what Ja Morant is doing to the rest of the NBA now. Like I kind of been like, well, I feel like Joey Hauser's let off the hook. I feel like. He was just the first of many victims. That's all.
Yeah. So,
I'll tell you the one team. I don't know if you watched it at all last night, and this is recency bias. Another team on the 9 seed side, I do not want to play, is San Francisco.
Oh yeah.
They are very aggressive and very, they're kind of a pressier team, and like late in that game against Gonzaga last night in the WCC conference tournament. They almost came back from 16 down against Gonzaga because Gonzaga couldn't even get across the timeline at times. So that'd be a matchup that would frighten me a little bit, to be honest.
It might be funny to see TCU and see our old pal Jamie Dixon again.
That would be cool. I miss Jamie to a certain extent.
Former Pitt coach. And Marquette and Pitt had some pretty testy games back then.
Oh, my goodness.
His against
second only to West Virginia.
Against his Pitt team. So that would be interesting. So just looking ahead one more, though, Phil. Let's say Marquette's able to win their 7-10 game or their 8-9 game. What is it? So you're obviously playing a great team next. So let's preface this by saying Marquette, would be a heavy dog, and we wouldn't be expecting to beat any of these teams. But you do have to play a 1 or 2 seed if you want to win, get to the Sweet 16 and win the national championship, all that stuff. You got to play good teams at some point. So if Marquette has to play a 1 or 2 seed, who do you want to take a swing at? Who do you at least want?
Duke, and it's not even close. Duke, all day.
I agree 100%. First of all, it'd be fun to see Theo. Our guy.
Talk about a little bit, like, Theo left under acceptable circumstances, yes. Right? No ill will.
Exactly. Nothing but good feelings for Theo. He is still a beloved guy. If he comes back and wants to play for a Marquette TBT team someday, he would be welcomed with open arms. Love Theo. So,
absolutely. Yes. So that would be, like just emotionally, that would be tough. I you know, not that I would ever under any circumstances cheer for a Duke team, especially against my own team, but it would just, I might jump out of my chair and yell at the officials for calling a phantom foul on Theo John for old time's sake. Like, you know, so it'll be a little bit emotionally challenging, but I absolutely want Duke. The Schadenfreude is too rich. The vulnerableness of this Duke team is of the top two seeds is easily the most vulnerable team. I think it's the best possible matchup we could have.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I can't help but think of this. All right, so first of all, to fire Wojo and then end Coach K's career would be an amazing double whammy. And yes. Then, because the thing is, every game, it just could be annoying if you watch every Duke game, like in the tournament, but every game we're going to say, for the last time, could this be Coach K's whatever, you know, possible last.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help but think about this. If Marquette's playing Duke, would Wojo be there? And what would he be wearing? Like, obviously,
there's no way he can go to that game, right?
Well, let's see. Yeah, I don't think he could. But number one, obviously, he would not wear Marquette gear, not out of any bitterness of anything, or not out of any bitterness or anything. But Coach K is his mentor and a father figure, and he would obviously be there supporting him. My question is, would he be like head to toe Duke gear, or would he do what my brother tends to do? So my brother, quick summary, he is a TCU alum, but he, you know, grew up in Kansas City ever since he was a little kid. Always loved the Kansas Jayhawks. Grew up a big Kansas Jayhawks fan. Still loves the Jayhawks. And so when he was in college at TCU, Kansas was not TCU were not in the Big 12 together. So TCU was in the Mountain West. So he never had to deal with TCU facing Kansas and that, you know, because he never stopped being a Kansas fan. But now they're in the Big 12. TCU is. So when he goes to a TCU-Kansas basketball game, like, he's still a Kansas fan at heart, but obviously a TCU alum. So he'll always wear just, like, gray head to toe, like no
like neutral,
yeah, like no logos. He may wear like a Boulevard Brewing t-shirt, which for those who don't know is a Kansas City beer. So like he'll wear that as his subtle nod to Kansas. And so I just couldn't help but think, like, if there is a tournament game between Marquette and Duke, would Wojo just be, you know, as boringly dressed as possible, just gray, like just like gray or khaki, you know, shirt and t-shirt.
Oh wow!
I just couldn't help but think of that. Like, what would Wojo wear? Would he just go total neutral, or would he just be Duke blue head to toe?
I mean, I don't know. On the one hand, he was paid $6 million to walk away. Yeah. On the other hand, he was told, "You're not good. Yeah. Go away." So I could see him going Duke. I don't know. It's a tough question for me to answer because I'm infamously known within my circle that if either of my children get a scholarship to play a sport at let's say Wisconsin, that I have stated no uncertain terms whenever that team plays Marquette, I am 100% showing up to their game in Marquette gear. like so in the scenario, let's say my son is a Badger point guard or something like that, I will 100% go to the games and cheer for him, but I will be sitting directly behind the Wisconsin bench in a Marquette sweatshirt. That is a stone cold lock. It is my wife is the wife character is completely appalled by this, but it's happening. If it has to take a divorce to get there, it's happening. I am not wearing any enemy colors, period. No,
that is hilarious. But back to our discussion at hand. So the team that, if Marquette is paired up with them, where you would be like, oh, crap, well, this will be a short stay. Even if we win our first one, we're never beating that team. For me, it's Kentucky. Like, I want no part of Kentucky. I want no part of Oscar Tshiebwe. Calipari in March in general, you don't want to go up against, because he almost always gets to the Sweet 16 at least, if not the Elite Eight, the Final Four. And just Kentucky is so good in the middle this year. They've always got good guards. They're so disciplined this year. They're deep. If they're paired up with Kentucky, wouldn't be a fan of that. And I would also be very nervous about, or uneasy, and I would be just like, mailing it in if they play Gonzaga. Just because, you know, the combination of Timmy and Chet Holmgren, no thanks. That would be a short stay as well. So those two teams,
yeah.
I want no part of Kentucky or Gonzaga.
Yeah, I agree with both of those. The other ones I would throw in, we've already mentioned them, is Kansas, but I would throw them in. One, I think Kansas is a very good team, but I just don't want the blowout nightmares flashbacks to 2003 Final Four.
I don't want my brother talking shit to me again about Kansas eliminating Marquette again. I had to deal with that in 03. I really don't want to deal with it again.
Yeah, he's the worst, by the way.
And they keep bringing it. And like him and some other my Kansas City friends, like whenever I'll talk, I'll say something like, oh man, Marquette in 03, that was so amazing. They'll always say, yeah, what happened after that? How'd that season end?
God, I hate your friends in the most lovable way. Yeah. But yeah, so I want nothing to do with Kansas for psychological
but
reasons
also,
and Kentucky and Gonzaga for
but also David
reasons.
McCormick, Kansas's big man, number 3 offensive rebounder in the country.
Yeah, that's not
so
good.
So he would eat Marquette alive. And Marquette and Kansas's guards are good enough. Remy Martin, who's just starting to come back from injury, is going to be a nice boost to their backcourt. No Chad Baji is an All-American candidate. So I don't like the matchup with so I respectfully disagree with Allen's take that if you have to play a 2-seed, Kansas is one. But he acknowledged that, look, no 2-seed is a great matchup for Marquette. Like, none. Right. Absolutely none. Quite frankly, the best 2-seed for Marquette is the one that they can't play, and that's Wisconsin.
Right.
Or
Villanova.
Right, yeah, or Villanova. Right, exactly. Those are the 2-seeds that if you had to play one, you'd say, all right, fine, let's play them. But they can't play them. So that's why we go back to your original point, Duke. Let's just play Duke.
Right. like there is no other choice. Yeah. I just feel like we're owed this. Yeah. Like, and we very well may get like just absolutely boat raced against Duke. I'm willing to accept.
Oh yeah, like that would be true house money at that point. If Marquette is in a second round game against any of those teams, Gonzaga, Baylor, Arizona, Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, Auburn, any of them, you're going in expecting to lose and hoping for the best. And anything that happens after that is 100% gravy. All we are hoping for, realistically, is to get a favorable matchup in the first round, get that win, so we can erase that phrase, Marquette hasn't won a tournament game since 2013. Shaka hasn't won a tournament game since 2013. I just want that erased. So that is what I'm hoping for at the absolute most. Anything after that, total gravy, absolute bonus.
Yes, absolutely. And then we go into next season and, you know, we see what next season holds. But yeah, we got to, no matter what, everything, the Big East tournament, you know, the March Madness itself, Selection Sunday, everything is focused on how are we going to get the best opportunity to win a round of 64 game. If we win that, I will be happy as a clam and not care. Like, obviously, I'm going to cheer and root and be excited for any games that go on beyond that. But like, you will not hear me moaning and complaining that, oh, we lost in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Okay, so what? You know, we're good.
Yeah, if Marquette wins that first game, celebrate for 36 hours, and then say, well, that's about it for the season, and just be pleasantly surprised at anything after that. But we will deal with that when the brackets come out. That is going to be the next time we check in with you guys. We'll definitely record a podcast Sunday night after the brackets are revealed, and hopefully get the next podcast out to you that Monday as we look ahead to the brackets and what they're going to look like. So very excited for this week. First, we've got to get to the Big East tournament. Phil and I are both on record that we are optimistic that Marquette could get to the final. We'll see how that goes. Oh, by the way, I'll just quick update on Marquette Take My Money. I've essentially closed the book on it for the year because if you're able to listen to this on Tuesday night, that is Give Marquette Day, which obviously it's a, you know, it's a gimmicky marketing thing, but it's given back to the alma mater, so I figured that's as good a day to any to cash out. So the final total was 15 hits for the season, so whatever, if you were playing along, as I was, you just picked a dollar amount and give that much per hit on the Take My Money. It was 15 on the year, so I pledged 10 bucks. So I made, well, I actually did some of it back in the fall, so I did 40 back in the fall, and I did the other 110 on Tuesday on Give Marquette Day. So there may be still some time on Tuesday if you want to get your donation in. If you did Take My Money, I think they're still giving away socks. So if you want some socks for Give Marquette Day, get your socks on Give Marquette Day. So, and the thing is, I wouldn't necessarily close the book on it. I may still get, we can still do more, I guess, as we get into postseason play. But the reason I started to Take My Money, Phil, is I honestly didn't think this team would be very good. So I kind of wanted
we needed a gimmick.
Yeah, needed a gimmick to kind of keep us interested all season. So that's why we started, and the team ended up being pretty good. So now that it's postseason play, I thought it's time to get rid of the gimmicks and stuff like that. So let's just enjoy the games. Maybe I'll do like still one take my money, like just win. Like if they win, it'll be another $10. So for every postseason win, another $10. Other than that, I don't think I'm going to get too tricky with it. How's that sound?
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, we break down the things we need to be concerned about anyway when we do the matchups. So, you know, I think that's a little redundant with the take my money. So I'm on board. Let's, you know, get some wins and maybe increase the bankroll.
So yeah, take my money's over for the season. It was a lot of fun. Maybe we'll do it again next year, but it was a good run. So, hey, hit us up on Twitter with your thoughts. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. Go to cracksidewalks.com. Post the podcast there. Leave your comments on cracksidewalks.com. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We always appreciate that. And there's a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page if that is your thing. Phil, enjoy the madness. I am excited. I cannot wait to record the next podcast to see the bracket, see where we're going, see who we're playing, and I'm looking forward to breaking it all down on the next pod.
Yeah, I'm pumped that we can record the next podcast knowing there will be no sad elephant trombone, right? Like, we know we're going to have a seed in the brackets. It's just a question of where and what number and what the matchup is, and I'm excited to talk about it.
All right, looking forward to the next one.
March is back.
March is back. Marquette is back. We will talk to you after the brackets are out. Till then, seashells and balloons, y'all.